Today on Real Radio.
I had a former Muslim young boy tell me that when he read that parable in the Bible, it changed his life forever, and he came to Jesus Christ when he read that parable. He read that Jesus would leave 99 sheep to go after one lost sheep. He said, when I found that out about the God of the Bible, he became my God.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a mini-series taken from chapters 13 through 16, where we learn about Samson. The name of this series is Staying Fit for the Master's Use. Now, we're not speaking of being physically fit, but spiritually and scripturally fit. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Sin in the believer's life always, always will cause the enemy to rejoice. Because look what happens in verse 22. It says, however, the hair of his head began to grow after it had been shaved. And I marked that in my Bible, and maybe some of you tonight need to mark that in your Bible. This is an amazing testimony of the grace of God. You see, Pastor, is my hair going to grow? The hair that's growing is a symbol of God. Remember, it was just a symbol. His strength wasn't in his hair. It was in the vow that he and God had. He didn't have this gorgeous hair. There's a power in his hair. It was in the covenant with his God. And this is a picture of God's mercy. The man is terribly backslidden. But in time, his hair begins to grow out. The Philistines no doubt forgot about that. I bet you Samson forgot about it. Because why? Listen, we think the deal's broken. Have you declared Jesus? Are you a Christian? And then you walked away from God and you walked into a life of sin and you've been grinding at the mill and you want to come back? Has the thought entered your mind, I wish God would accept me back? You wish God would accept you back? My friend, God is pleading with you to come back. He's been begging the whole time you've been away. You think I can come back? No. I know you can come back. Are you still breathing? Yes. Then you can come back. Hurry, come back. Well, how long? Listen to this. How long does it take to come back? I'll give you two answers. Number one, if we go by our feelings, if we go by our feelings, it will take forever to come back. Why? Because we feel condemned, don't we? I am not tonight preaching a soft message on sin. I am not saying go out and sin up a storm and then just turn around and come back. That's danger. Never do that. In fact, some scholars believe that the Old Testament teaches that God will not forgive sins of the high hand, which means presumptuous. I will go do this sin, and God will forgive me. So don't mess with that. Don't even play with that. I don't want to get into that part. But you've crossed the line, and you've lived a life now that has been wayward from God, and the thought enters your mind, I want to come back, but I can't come back. He won't have me. Your emotions will tell you God won't have you back. It's called condemnation in Scripture. Latter end of Romans chapter 7, opening throws Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no, what? Condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But your feelings, your emotions tell you, I can't come back, you won't have me. Satan is a great, great, really, really great devil. He's very, very good. He's the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says, of us. Imagine, the Bible says that he accuses the brethren day and night before the Lord. He's always, God, did you see what Jack did today? Look at him. What a dope. He accuses us day and night. Satan will often whisper in your ear, go ahead and do that thing. Who's watching? Nobody knows. It's okay. Go ahead. As soon as you cross the line, Satan says, that's it. Oh, you, it's over for you. He'll lie to get you across the line, and then he'll lie to you that you can't come back. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, God does not commit abortions in the family of God. He won't do it. But Jack, I've gone so far. Come on back. Come on back. The other answer is, your emotions will lie to you and condemn you. The other answer is the answer that is truth. A broken and a contrite spirit, the Lord will not refuse. Are you busted in the life that you've been living? Are you grinding at the mill? Yes. Okay, then. God says, what do you want to do? Keep grinding, or do you want to come back? I want to get out of this pit. It's exactly, you know what? It's exactly the story of the prodigal son. Did he cross the line? Oh, he crossed the line. He crossed the line so far and spent all of his money, wasted it on booze and partying and girls. And where's he working now? He's working for some Oscar Mayer pig farmer, right? Pork chop guy. A Jew, of all things. Working in a pork farm, sleeping with the pigs, and wakes up to the fact and says, you know what? My father's servants live better than I do. This stinks. I've blown it. And he comes back home. And what does the father do? He does something that's anathema in that culture. A father in the Middle East, in the Middle Eastern culture, a father never pulls up his robe and runs toward his sons. Oh, no, 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 no. The sons can run toward the father, but the father stands there dignified with his robe, and it's a sense of to pick up the robe as a patriarch and to run toward his kids like that is to be too emotional, too into the situation. The Bible says the old man saw his son coming afar off, picked up his robe, and took off after his boy to meet him. That's a picture of God coming after you. But Jack, I've gone so far. Hey, you know what? Only in Jesus can you go so far and ask him, you ask him, Lord, forgive me, and he forgives. And here's the cool thing. You'll stick closer to Jesus the rest of your life because you know what it feels to be without hope. At least feel it. Jesus says, you know, listen, you 99 sheep, you stay right here. You stay right here. I've lost one. I'm going to go get him. I had a former Muslim young boy tell me that when he read that parable in the Bible, it changed his life forever, and he came to Jesus Christ when he read that parable. He read that Jesus would leave 99 sheep to go after one lost sheep. He said, when I found that out about the God of the Bible, he became my God. And Jesus leaves the 99, goes and looks for the other little lamb that's lost, rescues him and brings him back. What you don't read in there, maybe he didn't do it, but in the culture of a shepherd, if the lamb strayed and if it kept straying, he would bring that lamb back and he would put two rocks up like this, put two boulders right here, stretch out that little lamb leg, put the lamb leg there on the boulder and take a rock and break the lamb's back leg right there between the two rocks. Break it. And he wouldn't let it set. He would let it come together on its own so the lamb would be crippled. You say, that's so mean. It's, you know what? No, it's not. If you have a strained sheep, if you have a strained daughter, a strained son, you just pull that leg out. I'm kidding. It's what we want to do. But you do take the car keys away or the door off their bedroom hinges. What are you laughing about? It works. Try it sometime. Why do you do that? Because you love them. You absolutely love them. And that lamb, listen, for 1 month, that lamb had to sit on the back of the shepherd. And wherever the shepherd went, that lamb was on the back of that shepherd's neck. And he would smell the shepherd, lick the shepherd's neck, hear the shepherd's voice, hear the shepherd's heartbeat. It was all shepherd time. And then at the end of the month, he would take that little lamb down, and that little lamb would limp around like Jacob limped around after wrestling with the Lord and never stray again. That's how much God loves you. And the Bible says to the person who is forgiven much, he loves much. I mean, it's a double whammo. We not only get shepherd time, but because he has forgiven us so much, we love him all the more. He's amazing. Repentance is required, and when it's present, forgiveness comes in an instant. See, your emotions are going to lie to you. Don't listen to them. When you go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me for my backslidings, my stupid decisions I've made, God, I'm coming home. In 1 second, you're forgiven. It's faster than a second. Amen. Second's too long. It's that fast. Tonight, if that's you and you're saying, I want to come home, then come home now. Repentance is required. Forgiveness comes in an instant. But listen, let's be honest, restoration can take a long time. And that's what we'll see in Samson's life. Just think, Samson's pushing that stone around and around and around and around. And I think personally something happened. It clicked. You know what? This has been the worst decision I've ever made in my life. Playing around that girl about my hair and all that, violating God's covenant with my life. Look at me. I'm blind. Around and around and around and around. Somehow, I believe he came to the point of being sick with his life. I pray, oh Lord God, in Jesus' name, cause the people of Chino Hills to become sick with their lives. See, how can you pitch a mean prayer? I mean it. Diamond Bar, Chino, Corona, Anaheim Hills, wherever. Lord, cause people to become sick of their lives, empty, void. Imagine if God answered that prayer and Saturday night people are looking around. They got their beers. They got their drugs. It's Saturday night. Oh, man, party. Yeah. And then they're thinking, you know what? This is really empty. They pull back on that bottle again. What am I doing? Can you imagine if they woke up Sunday morning? Hey, let's go to church. What? Let's go to church. What, are you still drunk? No, let's go to church. Come on. Let's go. Wouldn't it be amazing if people just began to realize my life is like on a grind. It's just nothing. And then they begin to realize I need the Lord. It can happen. But I believe personally, Samson's repenting. He's still blind. He's still grinding. But I believe he's repenting. Look at verse 23. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon. We'll talk about him in a minute. He was a real weird god. And to rejoice, and they said, our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of the land, and the one who multiplied our dead. Hey, first of all, it's a pretty sad day, you guys, when we disobey God and our enemies rejoice over our disobedience to the Lord. That is bad news. It's a bad thing when the world points at the church and says, don't talk to us about marriage when you can't even keep your own marriages together. You know, that's what they're saying. And what can we say back? We can't say anything back to them. Our divorce rate in Christianity is the same with the world. And we know God, and God can't even keep his own two kids together, they say. What do you say to them? Billy Graham said this. Billy Graham said, if two Christians who are married together break up, get a divorce, and can't make amends, then he said, I cannot hold the unbeliever responsible for not coming to Christ if two of his own children can't make it work. That's a strong statement. The world looks at us and says, look at them. They can't handle their money. They're Christians. They've got air-conditioned dog houses for their mansions, you know, in the ministry, and send in your money. Send in your money. As these leaders fly around the world in their Gulfstream 550s and have limousines carting them around. Oh, it's for the ministry. Amazing. Then you turn on so-called Christian TV. I don't know if you know this or not. In the Middle East, Christian TV in the Middle East, it's a people watch it for comedy. Especially the Muslims. They laugh their heads off. That's Christianity to them. And you should see the junk that's on TV in the name of Christianity. Unbelievable. So the enemies are rejoicing. Our God is great. Our God's awesome. Dagon. Dagon was a weird, weird god. They had all kinds of gods, but this one, do you remember, I believe it's Chronicles, where the Philistines got the Ark of the Covenant, you know, Indiana Jones, Ark of the Covenant. And they took the Ark and they put it in the temple of Dagon. Dagon's a freaky looking thing. It's got a scale body, scales like fish scales. And it's got like a fish head with arms. Scary looking thing. In fact, it was the fish god. In fact, Jonah, when Jonah went to Nineveh, one of their chief gods was Dagon. That's why Jonah had to be spit out of the mouth of a fish. It wasn't a whale. Read your Bible. Don't say whale. The Bible says it was a great fish with scales. So when Jonah walked into town, 40 days and Nineveh perishes, they flipped. Because their initial understanding must have been connected with the fact that this guy who's now been spit up out of the mouth of a great fish, their God was communicating to them. They had the fish god Dagon. In Nineveh, or Mosul, Iraq today, archaeological evidence shows that the priest of Dagon had a green robe with scales embroidered into it and a fish head on. So they bring the Ark of the Covenant in before Dagon and as an offering, and Dagon's like this, right? Or... And they parked the ark in front of this massive idol. It was huge, by the way. And in the morning, they go to see what's going on. Okay, that cracks me up, first of all. They make the idol, but they're going to go there in the morning to see what happened. Like somebody's behind stage with a little robot. It's not real. But the Bible says that they open the door, they walk in there, and the idol, his arms had been knocked off. Broken off. So, or he had fallen over. So they position him back up. You know, if you have a fake God, you always have to defend him. You know that? If you have a phony God, you always have to defend him. How about having a God that can defend himself? That's pretty cool. So they set him back up, and the next morning they come back, and he's fallen over, and he's all busted up. He's all broken up. Another time with the Ark of the Covenant, they send it into one of the towns. And they're all rejoicing, we got the Ark of Israel, we got the Ark of Israel. And then the Bible says that God began to smite them with hemorrhoids. Can you imagine? They're all, we got the Ark, we got the Ark. The next day, we got the Ark. Can you imagine? And then they said, do you guys, they call up one of their other towns. They said, would you guys like to have the ark? They can't even give the thing away. And then they send it back on a cart with a mother ox pulling it to Israel. Get it out of here. It's absolutely amazing. So they're all jumping up and down, going crazy. Our God's bigger than their God. And they're mocking. Verse 25 says, so it happened when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson, that he may perform for us. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. Isn't that sad, you guys? And they stationed him between the pillars. Verse 26, when Samson then said to the lad who held him by the hand, you guys, Samson was a killer. He tore a lion in half. He got a bunch of foxes together and tied their tails and set them on fire. Remember that? Samson took a jawbone of a donkey. He could slay people with it. He's amazing. What's happening now? He's been grinding at a mill, blind, going in circles, and a little boy's got to lead him. And he says to the little lad, let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. Now, if you know this story, you're thinking, he's got a plan. Ha! He's going to lean on the pillars because he's going to pull the building down. I don't think so. Oh, yeah, that's how the story ends. But I don't think that's what he was thinking at the time. I think he's being led by a little boy. You guys, can you imagine how absolutely reduced to nothing he is? And he says, can you just have me lean on the pillars? Remember, he has no natural strength of his own. His strength was supernatural. His hair was growing, though, speaking to all of us that God will renew that covenant that he's made with us. Amen. Don't forget that. And so he leans on the pillar. And I think he's just leaning on the pillar. I don't think he's got some black op combat thing in mind, and I don't think there's any covert plan. Finally, I believe this man has been humbled to the point where, for the first time, he's dependent upon God. And you can bypass all the Samson stuff by being dependent upon God. And so the scripture says, verse 27, now the temple was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. And then Samson called to the Lord. That's the first time we have heard this.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Staying Fit for the Master's Use. It's actually a mini-series taken from chapters 13 through 16 of the Old Testament book of Judges. Now, we wish to bring to your attention two things. First, this series, Staying Fit for the Master's Use, is now available on DVD. Staying Fit for the Master's Use on DVD is yours for a gift of any size to the work of Real Radio. To learn more, you can pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. Second, we'd like to hear from you. You know, it doesn't take much just to send us an email letting us know how Real Radio is contributing to your growth as a believer. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click where it says Send Us a Message. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to send in that contribution and receive Pastor Jack's Staying Fit for the Master's Use on DVD, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.